Welcome to Life Planning 101, brought to you by Smart Money Group and Kennedy Financial Services in Eastland, Texas. Tune in every week as we share important information to help you and your family live life on purpose. Insurance, investments, legacy and tax planning, and much more. All covered now on Life Planning 101.
Here we are with another episode of Black and White Market Chatter on Life Planning 101. Matt Urban, Aaron Kennedy, and Sam Barker with us today. We're going to kind of take a little trip. You know, one of the things we were talking about in preparation for this podcast was, you know, we want to start looking at some of our companies, right? Some of the things that we're working with, you know, Aaron and Sam have been working hard on putting this kind of strategy together. And it's going to be fun to unpack. And this one, I'm going to make a pun here. Don't laugh too hard, fellas, but we're going to talk about a company that's pretty sweet, if I'm not mistaken today. So tell us, before I make any more bad dad jokes today, tell me about what's going on.
Well, I think this is something, like Matt said, we're going to be trying to touch on some of the companies that we look into and are probably part of our model and some of our portfolios. So today we're just going to touch base on Hershey's. You know, it's been a part of our portfolio for a while now. It really had a tough year last year. So last year, I think for the year of 2023, it was down somewhere around 18%. Whenever some of its peers, you know, the one of its peers is Coca-Cola, the closest thing was down about 4.5%. So it kind of got beat up by its peers a little bit. But on the flip side, you know, what a buying opportunity. Right now, I think from an expensive side, its PE is right at 21, and that's the long-term average is 26. And over the past year, or over the past 5 years, its minimum is 19.37 on a PE. So that was in December of 2023. So what a buying opportunity we have here. It's a great company. The return on invested capital is 22.
I mean, this is a crazy thing. This is one of the highest quality companies in the world. And we're getting an opportunity. And I know you're going to walk through why it deserves to be in our portfolio, but it's kind of funny to think about a confectionery company that the new biggest thing is popcorn, and we're excited about it.
So tell me this, what caused the headwind for it? You know, because I don't think anybody quits eating sweets, and if I recall correctly, you know, we were still in kind of a recovery mode last year. So I don't know that anybody was super excited. So that would mean they'd be flocking to the chocolate bars, kind of eating out of sadness. So tell me what kind of happened with the company that caused such that opportunity now?
The crazy thing, you know, inflation. That's been the biggest topic. And a lot of these staples and I don't want to say grocery stocks, but food stocks and, you know, the really, really boring stuff struggled. And, you know, a lot of the idea, just as a broad across the board, is they're only making more money because they're raising prices. And eventually, they're not going to be able to do that anymore. And I don't think the brush of the pen or the brush of the stroke, that fits this case. But Hershey's and all chocolatiers and all that struggled for a couple of reasons. Sam helped me out on this. Number one, price of cocoa.
Yeah, it went through the roof. I was looking at some numbers, and I don't have those right in front of me, but they've doubled and tripled, just got way out of hand in 2023, and it seems like that was the main thing. Well, no, I guess not the main thing, but cocoa in and of itself was the main thing that was damaging Hershey's. And if you go and look at the headlines for cocoa in 2023, you see that there's not only price inflation of cocoa, but there was also something found in the soil where cocoa is almost said mined, where cocoa is farmed.
Mined, Sam? Yeah. Mined? Yeah. When's the last time you mined a plant?
That's the other side of cocoa. Yeah. That part gets mined.
Yeah. So, hey.
But no, from the chocolate standpoint, there was some pollution in the soil, and that was making a lot of headlines of where you're getting your cocoa. And it's just not grown in enough places around the world to really have an option. So you know, there were people beating the drums about what that was, but really is across the board, and it's a pollution problem, not so much a Hershey's or a cocoa problem.
So was that pollution problem, was that a temporary thing, or is that kind of a newfound permanent issue?
No, I think they're going to be able to adjust the soil, and a lot of it was runoff from other pollution standpoints, and they can go in the soil and adjust that and get it fixed. And a lot of it was cadmium, and that is just a straight up pollution. They were dumping, and it got into the soil. And if you look at cocoa, it's a huge crop in South America. I mean, it's grown in a couple other places, but huge crop in South America. And that made a lot of the headlines, but that's not the only reason that cocoa went up. You know, there was some environmental stuff, and a lot of it was drought, difficult year for the crop itself. But big question is what kind of company is this? What kind of quality company is this? And are they going to overcome it?
Yeah, and speaking to the quality, I mean, 14 to 15% of all of the revenues are realized in free cash flow. So whenever you start earning those revenues and you're having free cash flow like that, and then the return on invested capital, you know, you take those free cash flow, you turn around and you reinvest it, and you're getting 22% return on that reinvestment.
That's huge. Yeah, that's huge. So to put this another way, for every dollar, this is what we're talking about, every dollar that Hershey sells, how much is going into the bank account at the end of the day? And we're looking about a little bit over $11 billion of chocolate being sold, and $1.5 billion ends up at the bank account at the end of the year. And with that excess, you know, what are they doing with it? They're turning around and reinvesting it at 22%. And this is huge. And they're selling it at a multiple. We're buying it 20% cheaper than we have been over the last 5 years.
And only 10% more expensive than the low of the last 5 years.
Yes. This is a fantastic deal. It's paying us a great income right now while we're struggling through this. They're paying us almost 3% in a dividend. And as it's going down, I'm personally bought a little bit more of it yesterday, because this just doesn't happen. This is a company that, even after last year's results, has still been compounding at a little bit over 12% all time. Mm-hmm. Put that in perspective, you know, the S&P is sitting around 10. So what would you rather have, a company compounding at 12.5 or 10? That's huge for a lower risk company. And I hate to say stable, but hey guys, we're getting bigger, especially as Americans. We're not gonna eat more chocolate. But that brings me to another point. This is, we're not gonna dig into this company, but one of our other portfolio companies is Novo. And them and Eli Lilly, and there's another company out there that broke the code. They got an injection and now a pill that you can take and helps you lose weight. And it's not speed.
So is it the diabetes that you get from the Hershey's bars? Yes. Now we got companies that can fix that.
Yes, that's exactly right. The companies that developed this, it was a diabetes drug. And one of the side effects was weight loss. And we were laughing about this today. One of the things people are saying is, oh, if you're taking these drugs to lose weight, obviously you're going to quit eating as much chocolate. And I don't see it that way.
Yeah, no, I'm going to be doubling my chocolate.
Yeah, intake. If I could eat all the chocolate in the world and it doesn't do anything to me, I don't get diabetes and I actually lose weight.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Bring it to me right now. Get me some chocolate. Anyways, if you look at our portfolio, especially over the last 16, 18 months, this has been the worst performing equity in our model. But at this point, it is probably the most, I don't want to say exciting, but there is more opportunity in this company than almost everything else. And it's just, you know, this is the name of the game, guys. When the price goes down and it's something you would love to own, it's an opportunity. And top idea, Hershey's. Great opportunity right now.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's PE lows in December. Year to date, it's done almost 6%, while Nestle is down just over 9%, and then Mondelez is down over 5%. So it's kind of reversing course with what it did last year. It was down last year while those two were up, and then this year that's inverted, so that's pretty interesting.
We're getting the bounce. Very, very exciting.
So tell me this. You know, when we talk about, we talked about a couple of different companies. Talk to me about how many companies you have kind of allocated across that model right now.
There's about 30 names inside of it, and we need to work that down a little bit. You know, depending on who you look to, you can be fully diversified at 12 to 15 stocks. So one thing, when we put this together, we didn't want to be the index. We didn't want to be the S&P 500. We didn't want to own 500 stocks. If we took a position in a company, we wanted it to matter. So we're at 30 right now, and it needs to be our best ideas, and it needs to be the highest quality companies that we can find, and we get to be very choosy on how these companies are actually performing. Not how their stock is doing, but how the company is performing. Warren Buffett puts it really, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but Warren Buffett puts it really well, you know, on a short-term basis or a yearly basis, the market is a voting machine. It's a popularity contest. But over time, the market is a weighing station. And those companies that have the higher return on invested capital, their free cash flow margins, they're putting more in the bank account, huge cash flows. They're running those companies like they are the founder. These are the things that make a difference. Not on a Wednesday, not on a Thursday, but over decades. It's a proven way to be successful in the market.
Well, this is really exciting because it sounds like we're gonna be able to unpack, you know, a little bit about each company as we go forward. One thing I want to remind everybody is this is not considered a recommendation at all. This is just kind of some insight about what we're seeing, what we're looking at, what we're doing, but it's not considered a recommendation. So when we dive into this, if you have interest in what we're talking about, we want you to give us a call. But I think, you know, the most exciting thing to me is that we get to unpack each company, right? If we've got, you know, 12 to 15 names to go over, that's going to be pretty exciting, because I think that's one thing to your guys's point. You know, we were talking a little earlier about, you know, sometimes we get stuck on the economics of things because there's so much happening in the news and we want to help people, and really the shift of getting under the hood a little bit. Let's talk about more about what we're doing. Let's shut the news off. You know, let's focus on the longer term and get our minds back right on the horizon. So we're running a little long on our time. So is there anything y'all want to talk about before we get wrapped up today?
Yeah, I know we had an extremely interesting week in the market. I'll start with Tuesday. You know, it was a pretty active day. Aaron and I run into each other's office different days of the week just to say, you know, hey, did you see this? Have you looked at this? Check this out. So Tuesday, it was me. I ran into his office. You know, Schlumberger announced plans to acquire Champion X in an all-stock transaction. That was pretty interesting. More acquisitions. And then that same Tuesday, Tesla fell 5% because they didn't meet their delivery quota that was expected. And that kind of had a ripple effect throughout the rest of the EV sector, where everybody else, you know, was down and down and down.
I don't want to break your thoughts process here, but Rivian, same thing.
Yeah,
they didn't perform and they were taking a beating. So, you know, it's what if they're both doing it, is it just a sign of the times? You know, just a bad quarter. Consumer wasn't picking up. What is going on? Yep. Now, we are, as a population, we're buying more EVs than we thought we would. But at that same time, you know, all the big names, we see them pulling these EV projects off the table.
Yeah.
So which way is it? What's going on? It's going to be an interesting, interesting time as we unpack this over the near future.
Yeah, and then a couple other interesting headlines from Tuesday. You had, you know, everybody knows probably based on the news, DJT, that's Donald Trump's new media company that kind of did a reverse merger and went public. They were down 21% on Monday, which, ouch, and then they lost another 4% on Tuesday. Now, I haven't looked at it, couldn't bring myself to look at it since then. It's just really ugly, but of course, whenever you have just an extremely volatile stock like that, it's kind of just a roll of the dice when you buy it.
Oh my gosh. And this is what's funny. We've been playing in the option market with DJT, and we're not making these investments, but we're looking at them. And what was that? We have about a 2-year leap. So that's one of the most shorted stocks in the in the world. And people are betting it's going to go down. And to short that company over the next, I think it was 18 months or 2 years, was going to cost you, 75%. The entire market believes it's going to fail. And if you go the other way, you bet for upside, it's nothing.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you're looking at 3% versus 3% of the people are expecting it to go up, 75% of the people are expecting it to go down. Yeah. It's just crazy how all that is playing out at this point.
Yeah, and it's, something like that I was talking about, it's a little bit of a gamble. Whenever you're looking at a risk of 3%, versus, you know, what everybody else is. If everybody else is wrong, that's an interesting turnaround. So
yes.
The other thing that you probably seen headlines about today, or I guess Tuesday, would have been General Electric. They completed its split into those three different independent companies where they're just kind of, I don't know what you would call that, spinoffs.
Yes.
And divestments. So they fell 20% whenever they completed that. So that was a big thing. I'm looking into it a little bit. It's very interesting. I was trying to buy GE a couple of years ago, but I did not know what I was doing at the time, so I'm glad I don't hold it today.
Yes. What's the crown jewel there? Is it the energy or is it the aviation?
You know, that, I think it would have been, was it not the healthcare?
Was it? I can understand why the big drop, because there's one part of GE that is, it is the crown jewel. So once you separated that off from some of the other ones, full expectation that it was going to come down.
So they're going to be, whereas used to they were a holding company, now they're going to be publishing their own financial results separately.
Yeah, that was one of my earliest memories. Me and Dad, and I think Angela was with us too, we'd take a yearly horse trip where we'd go camping and ride the horses for a week and just live off the land, and it was so much fun. And I remember talking to a guy on one of these trips, not a client, nothing else, but he found out what we did. And he said something to the effect of, yeah, I put everything I have in GE. GE's never cut their dividend and always increase their dividend on a year-to-year basis, and that is a guarantee. And every time I see GE, every time I see that chart, you know, I think of that guy, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I hope he didn't get hurt, and I hope he changed his mind before that destruction of that company.
Yeah.
So, little tidbits, little memories that always stick out in your head.
Yeah. Well, back on track, you know, we talked Tuesday. I know that Thursday was a pretty wild day as well. Do you want to get into that, Aaron?
Yeah. Just real quick, you know, the market is expecting three interest rate cuts this year. We touched on this a little bit last week. As of today, it shouldn't happen. We shouldn't be cutting interest rates if the market or the economy is humming like it is right now. You know, it should be going the other way. But the we had two people on the Fed board come out and say that inflation's a little bit higher than we want, and kind of insinuating that interest rates were not on the table to be cut, and the market hated it.
Yeah.
We went from a very positive market at 2 o'clock in the afternoon to very, very negative, just in a blink of an eye. And I think the market needs to open up their eyes and just realize that we shouldn't be cutting interest rates just for politics or just because we said we do. there needs to be a reason, and the economy needs to be struggling for the Fed to be juicing our economy with lower interest rates. So just keep that in the back of your head. There's a good chance that we're not going to see any cuts this year.
Yeah, and we had a jobs report come out today that was pretty strong. And
pretty strong.
Weird, because that shows, you know, interest rates are unlikely to be cut, and the market loved it. Yeah. So it's a flip-flop.
But let's do one little conspiracy theory before we jump out of here. How many of those jobs were created by the government? I think it was 70% of the jobs were government jobs. So maybe they know something that we don't, and that's why they're going to start cutting early. And that's all I'm going
to
say.
And we're going to have to watch those revisions.
Private payrolls was up. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. Private payrolls were up this week too, though.
Yes. Oh yeah.
So that's not government, but
it's the same three. We got government jobs, we got education, and we got healthcare. So healthcare, that's strong. I like that. But we'll find out after the revisions. Years from now, we'll see really what's going on. But to your point, private payrolls coming up. Great, fantastic. Love people getting jobs. Love people getting two jobs. We got a lot more people in our country than we did yesterday or the month before that, and they all need jobs. So we're going to have a strong job market.
That's right. Well, gentlemen, I hate to shut us down early. We're rolling today, but we've got to save some content for the next one. Let Sam start building back up. Great job today. Appreciate you guys. You know, this has been an awesome insight to some things that are going on. I'm really, really excited about jumping into a few more of the companies. I thought that was a neat twist. Thank you so much for sharing that today. And as always, if there's questions or comments, concerns about what's going on, call us. You know, we're here to serve you. We answer the phone. We want to take care of you. We're busy and we're trying to work to take care of you guys and keep you all retired or get there even closer. So appreciate each and every one of you, and bless all of you. Spend some time with your family and enjoy this beautiful summer weather we're having. And I guess stay safe during the eclipse, right? I guess there's some confusion there. It's supposed to be rainy and cold and go dark and all the things. But
what is going on?
Sam, you'll have to report back to us on the next one about what happened during the eclipse, because I think there's plenty to unpack there.
I'll let y'all know what it looks like without glasses on.
There you go. Yeah, the first blind man of finance. So anyway. No, okay. All right, gentlemen. Well, thank you so much. And this is where I wrap up today's episode of Black and White Market Chatter on Life Planning 101.
Thank you. God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Life Planning 101, brought to you by Smart Money Group and Kennedy Financial Services. If you have questions, you can email them to lifeplanning@kennedy-financial.com. Be sure to tune in next week for more Life Planning 101. The opinions expressed herein are those of the firm and are subject to change without notice. The opinions referenced are as of the date of publication and are subject to change due to changes in the market or economic conditions and may not necessarily come to pass. Any opinions, projections, or forward-looking statements expressed herein are solely those of the author, may differ from the views or opinions expressed by other areas of the firm, and are only for general informational purposes as of the date indicated. Securities offered through Calton & Associates Incorporated, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Smart Money Group LLC. Kennedy Financial Services and Smart Money Group LLC are separate entities and are not owned or controlled by Calton & Associates Incorporated.